All right, so here we are. We're outside enjoying nature on this nice New Jersey
concrete
summer day. And then,
it's not summer.
It's like 80 degrees out right now.
But it's not summer.
It's not summer, but it's like that fall summer that, like, it's like the preview of summer.
It's hot spring.
Hot spring. That's a good word for it. So we just saw Fall Guy starring
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, Hannah Waddington. Waddington, I think. She was the producer.
Mm-hmm.
And Winston Duke was the stunt coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
I fucking love this movie.
So this is one of those movies that does a better job of making you love movie making than pretty much any movie I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, like, there's a couple out there that are, like, really into the how to make movies, like, behind the scenes.
It's funny because I just streamed movie 9, the musical about the Italian director with Daniel Day-Lewis and a star-studded cast.
Yeah, it's like Fellini, like, I know, 9.5, I think, or 8.5.
It's a spiritual successor to 8.5.
Okay.
Which is the movie based on the stage play, I believe, 9.
Yes.
Alright. Which is also all about making movies. This is way more about making movies.
And not even, like... it doesn't get into, like, the annoying part of movies. It's like, because a lot of movie making is hurry up and wait.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think real Hollywood would kill for the breakneck speed that the fake Hollywood movies in Australia is made at.
If you've ever stayed to the end of a kung fu movie to see all the stuntmen bloopers, you will love this movie.
Because the joy of filmmaking is present, but also it's a shout out to all the... A stuntman made this movie.
It's very much a love letter to stuntmen.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And it has all the classics in it. It has the Bionic Man, in there.
The references are a mile a minute. It's just nonstop, little things. You're not going to catch them all. I caught a bunch of them, and I was cackling in the theater.
There was a couple that I heard you laugh out loud at the references, not the actual jokes. But
yeah.
What were some of them you noticed?
Oh, man. They have the, they've got the fucking Dune noise.
Do you think they made this movie in the last 2 years, like, just going off of Dune 1?
Yeah, it's gotta be a reference to Dune 1. That was a meme on the fucking online about Dune 1. People would just post the notes. I forget what the notes are. It's like F, G sharp, B.
Mm-hmm.
Or F flat. I forget what the notes are exactly. But people would just post that. A guy I know, he messages me and says, "What does this mean?" And I pop it into, like, a little digital piano. I play it and I just start laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's...
So,
I was laughing throughout this movie so hard.
Now, did you recognize the one dude who played the bad guy?
You mean the actor?
Yes.
I know him, I don't know him.
You've seen a whole bunch of his work.
He's Quicksilver, right?
Yep, he's Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Okay.
Godzilla.
Bullet Train.
Well, that's the Leech connection, so he's working with him again. And mm-hmm. I'm glad that he had, like, fun with this, because that was the other thing, too. I hope, because there's certain times where you're projecting, but it's like, all right, does anybody else see that everybody else had a really good time making this movie? Because Aaron Taylor Johnson, for what little, he's on the screen a lot, but, like, a lot of the times he's making fun of other people entirely.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be at the Hollywood party where him, Matthew McConaughey, Johnny Depp are all, like, standing around together. And McConaughey is just doing that. Well, Aaron, I guess you had a little bit of fun making that movie now, didn't you?
Oh, his horrible Southern accent.
Yep.
So they're shooting a movie, this whole movie, called Metal Storm. It is the most hilariously generic sci-fi movie I've ever seen.
But it has that so bad it's good promise of quality.
It is hilariously generic. And it's literally the movie Cowboys and Aliens, but also Star Wars, and also Dune.
It's like, I'm surprised they didn't have Jack Black make a cameo as, like, an emperor in it or something. Because it gave me, one Jack Black video game where he's, like, the voice of? You know, it's a huge heavy metal, like, love letter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the same guy who made Psychonauts, like, Tim.
Yeah,
Tim Minear.
Tim
Miner?
Jaff? No, Jaffe.
Not. I think the only Jaffe I know is Al Jaffe. I don't even know if Al Jaffe is a actual person or like a sports guy. I just thought it up in my head.
What's his name? God of War Jaffe. David Jaffe.
Ah, so there is a Jaffe. Okay.
There is another Jaffe. Not who I was talking about. Thinking of though.
All right. Remember, 6 minutes. We have to make that clip.
What clip?
Like that interaction we just had right now, we got to make that into a clip that we put on social media.
Oh, okay.
we're starting to take this shit seriously now, or at least I'm gonna try to as best I can.
If any viewers or listeners at home want to send in bits of the episodes that you think are highlights, feel free.
Share this with your friends. Like the little bits that you enjoy, please do.
What was that game called?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Brutal Legend.
Yes. Okay, good catch. I didn't want to look that up on my phone. So it feels like Brutal Legend meets Dune, but and Cowboys and Aliens.
You're talking about Metal Storm, the fake movie?
Yeah. Like, Hollywood kind of is, like, self-respecting when it comes to, like, whenever they make a fake movie. Like, that one Julia Roberts movie with Catherine Zeta-Jones and John Cusack. There's a fourth lead in that, but I can't remember his name. But basically, like, that was, like, America's Sweethearts. Like, they were trying to take it very seriously, that the movie that they were trying to make. Meanwhile, these guys did not. But at the same time, though, like, I feel like this movie illustrates the idea that even if the final product sucks, the making of can be fun as hell. Because the montages and the, like of like the fun stuff like the Warner fight scene in front of the Sydney Opera House in the movie, everyone's smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's also a love story, so it's like if they were breaking up, it'd be totally different.
Oh yeah, it's a legitimately good romance too.
Oh yeah.
But we gotta talk about the actors. Chemistry.
Emily Blunt, I feel like she is such a good actress, and Ryan Gosling is such a good actor.
Ryan Gosling oozes charisma in this.
Yep. I feel like he can turn it on, like, because...
This is Ryan Gosling unleashed.
Yeah. Because, you know The Notebook, right?
I'm aware of the movie The Notebook.
So, apparently, Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams hated each other on that movie. Apparently. I don't know for sure. Like, I've never heard either of them say out loud. I wouldn't piss on him to if his heart was on fire. Like, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Never heard him say it. But, Emily Blunt... I feel like she could turn it, and it did come out this week that like, there were people that she did not enjoy working with that she had to kiss, and like
shocker.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things where like of course like it's gonna come out in a, like a press junket because press junkets apparently are. Matt Damon once described it as it should be reserved for like terrorist interrogations, where they just put a terrorist in a room and they just have 10 people at a time. Come in, ask him the same questions over and over again, repeatedly.
That is ad nauseum. That is interrogation.
Yeah, but like, you're right. but like for the press junket, like purposes. But the best though was like everybody was like, well, was it Tom Cruise? Was it Dwayne The Rock Johnson? Which, by the way, somebody is out to get Dwayne The Rock Johnson right now.
Yeah, it's called Dwayne The Rock Johnson being a complete asshole to everybody.
Oh, yeah. So, like, all the, if one story comes out, other people start putting out stories. It's like, he was trying to get in charge of DC Studios, the DC Universe. It was like, all right, well.
I don't know why he would want to put that rope around his neck.
You know what? The, in villain terms, the guy that he had a role playing was Black Adam, and that was the possible, like, answer to Thanos that DC has. Like, evil Superman. That's what it is.
Wasn't there something between him and Henry Cavill? Either he wanted him in the movie or he didn't want him in the movie?
You wanted him in the movie. You want him. And by the way, our last movie that we reviewed was Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yeah.
The other Guy Ritchie movie that had Henry Cavill in it that I'm aware of was Man from U.N.C.L.E.
And I still haven't seen that.
I would watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that it's like, it's different. I don't think it's as good as, but it's like, it's got its moments. Especially when there's this one moment where Henry Cavill is just by himself. There's things going on in the background, but Henry Cavill does the funniest goddamn thing doing very little. And he's just like having himself like a nice picnic. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I want more Guy Ritchie, Henry Cavill, like with like more of a script involved, because I feel like I'm actually getting to see Henry Cavill do comedy, which is actually getting to see him act.
Henry Cavill was the best part of that movie, yep. By far.
Oh, yeah.
Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yep.
He's usually the best part of most things he's in. Even Black Adam.
Mm-hmm.
When you remember where he was there?
Yep.
For, like, all of 2 minutes.
Yep. But.
Or Argyle, where he was also there for 2 minutes.
Warner Brothers screwed him over so bad.
But they keep putting on posters.
Yep. Back to Fall Guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, Fall Guy is...
Are we going to spoilers?
Yeah, we're in spoiler territory. So, Fall Guy is Ryan Gosling. He's the main hero. But he's also the unsung hero of, like, movie industries. It's like, the movie starts, like, letting you know... what it is that these guys do. It's just like a lot of like Atomic Blonde makes an appearance, like the other David Leitch's previous movies make appearances, and it's like guys walking away from explosions, but they don't focus on the guy walking away. They focus on the guy that got blown up in the opening, and just dudes like falling down hills. Like, it's like, oh, that's gotta suck. And then you realize, oh, these are real people.
Mm-hmm.
Then
it's just a huge montage in the beginning of stunts being done by stuntmen.
Yep. And it shows you a stunt going wrong. So you're introduced to the four main players in the movie really quickly. Ryan Gosling, Jody Moreno, Ryan Gosling's name is like Colt Reeves, I think his name is.
Yeah, Colt Reeves.
Colt Reeves, Jody Moreno, who's Emily Blunt, Tom Ryder, who is Aaron Taylor Johnson, and this woman is from Ted Lasso. So she plays the producer, who is straight out of Miami Vice. She's always dressed in like white. She's always dressed like with 80s hair. Like,
she's very 80s Jew, because she's the producer. Big glasses, big hair.
Diet Coke at all times.
That's just to replace the cigarette that she can't have because it's modern day.
You
know
that.
It. You know it. Come on.
Most likely, but I could totally see someone just like she's the type, I'm betting, that's trying to quit smoking.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's another level to it.
Yep. So, you notice how whenever she's stressed, that's when she has the most Diet Coke, too?
She's the kind of producer that would come into the room and go, darling!
Mm-hmm. She does, repeatedly.
What was The Incredibles, the costume lady.
Edna Darling.
Yeah, she's
Edna,
a lot like...
Edna. Yeah.
She's a lot like her.
So, she has some of the best lines in the movie. And they're throwaway lines.
Like what?
Ryan Gosling says to her, it's like, do you know what my stories are all about?
Oh, yeah.
It's like that nihilism is a legitimate worldview.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And it's like, no, I have sexy bacon. It's like,
sexy bacon. Oh my god, this sexy bacon. The whole thing was so funny.
It's like I have a message, and I take you, I take these heroes, and I just wrap it in sexy bacon.
Nihilism is the bacon.
Yep. Or the, I heard you laugh at the, it's like, Amber and Johnny were in here?
Yeah.
It's like, the, Iggy Azalea is also going to be pissed about this movie, I think, in a little bit. Because, they were either making fun of Australian actresses, or, so it's either Iggy Azalea or Margot Robbie, because, like, I'm betting they cut a couple things with her, like the actress that played Tom Ryder's girlfriend, who is also the star of the movie, Eliana.
Oh yeah, the chick.
So she
has such little actual screen presence that I didn't realize she was the actress.
Yeah, well, she had a the fake fight scene with her, which was, I think they cut a couple things because it would make sense that she would be in on it to a degree. Because she was there when he killed the guy. Knew that.
Oh, was she?
Yep.
Okay.
And then she told the guy to go find the drug dealer that hangs out at this club.
That's true.
So, but you don't see her get any... you see her still in the movie afterwards. So, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if they cut some things out in the movie for runtime. But that was the other thing this movie didn't really get into, is like, all right, the things that we do, but it's not going to end up in the movie. I'm sure, like, there was a couple of those that would have been interesting.
Pause real quick. That drugged up fight scene.
Yeah.
Was so good.
Yep.
Because I know exactly how that feels.
Mm-hmm.
Not to fight six guys when I'm, like, I've been, like, roofied, but... Mm-hmm. When I'm, like, super wasted.
Yep.
And I have to just walk on muscle memory because I can't trust any of the impulses coming back to me.
Yep.
I know that is exactly what I saw on screen with him doing fight scenes out of just sheer muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know that this is going to hit. I'm just going to trust in the muscle.
Yep. There was a couple of those, so... My favorite line in the whole movie is the writer coming up and said, how about this? Since we don't have a third act, how about we have a character mention that we don't have a third act? Which, by the way...
It's just shots at Marvel. Disney in general.
It's a shot at all filmmaking right now because...
Which is Disney in general.
Every... Well, they own half of all major studios.
They own Marvel, they own Fox...
Like, they own Disney themselves.
Yeah.
They
are notorious for not having a script.
Well, I can't... The only ones I think that would have a script is Pixar, but even then...
What do you mean?
Well, Disney owns Pixar.
No, but what do you mean about a script?
Well, with Pixar, everything is planned out. And Pixar, say what you will about, like, their decline... I think the problem that Pixar has is that we're not all 13 anymore.
No.
So...
Absolutely not. That's degrade amazing films.
Mm-hmm.
Like Toy Story and other Pixar things that I don't want to get wrong for DreamWorks things right now.
Well, as much as I don't like DreamWorks' stuff overall, don't get me wrong, like...
I like DreamWorks.
I like them, but I feel like overall, like, they have a hit, then they have, like, five sequels to it, which... God bless them. I mean,
I don't like the sequels, but
like I will.
How I Treat Your Dragon is fantastic. Kung Fu Panda is fantastic.
Yeah,
DreamWorks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Like Illumination works with DreamWorks and does like Despicable Me and
yeah. Of the trailers that we saw today, one was the most soul crushing Despicable Me trailer I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because they're still fucking going.
So.
The nice lady gave these to me for free.
Oh, nice.
If I survived them.
What are they, pan-fried wontons?
I think so. If I survived them, we'll know that she was actually a very nice lady.
How'd you talk her into that?
I didn't. She just gave them to me. Or we'll see if my bill is $9 or $29.
How are they?
I haven't had one yet.
Oh, I thought you'd been into one. Okay.
No.
So,
they're very good.
This movie, you know with the term Chekhov's gun?
Yeah.
Okay. For the audience that doesn't know, Chekhov's gun is basically, I want to say it's Crime and Punishment.
It's from an old stage play where there is a gun on the stage.
Yep.
And the gun is there the entire time. Every scene is made more tense because the gun is there in the room. And that gun has to go off at some point.
Okay.
That is Chekhov's gun. If you put a gun in the set, in the scene, the gun will be used.
So, this movie sets up so many things. Because there's there's a symmetry in the beginning and end of the movie, almost. Actually, I will say that there's definitely a symmetry. So, the movie starts with the failed fall, and it ends with a fall from a helicopter onto a crash pad.
Uh-huh.
Before that, you get the,
It's more useful to call that an arc.
Oh, it is
an
arc.
That's his arc.
Well, it's a very symmetrical arc.
Well, what the arc is that he hurts himself from a fall.
Yep.
That he believes is by his mistake. He made a mistake. He severely hurt himself. The worst mistake he's ever made on set as a stuntman. It crushes him. He goes into hiding. He gets pulled out of hiding. And over the course of this adventure, he gains his confidence back because he, A, has to, and B, finds out that it was not actually his mistake. Somebody intentionally sabotaged him to make him fall. The fall from the helicopter is the symbolic, he's completely back. He has returned, he has conquered his inner demons, as well as the movie's demons.
All right. So, there's that. Way better said than I was going to put it. What was I going to say? Okay, so... But Chekhov's gun, in terms of you're being introduced to all the elements of filmmaking on a set in this one scene, and it's very quick. Like you have your assistant director who's always obsessed with like small details. You have your VFX lady who is, oh, we can do this, we can do that. Like she's very chill. She has no drama with her. In the moment.
Which one is this?
You remember she had, like, the accent, dark hair. She was, like, at the karaoke scene.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, then you have sound guy, you have the pyrotechnics guy, who I don't know what his department is, but, he's doing tests in front of the assistant director, who's going crazy, and then you have the props lady, who's made a guitar, dagger, laser thing, and then she's, oh, how many did you make? 200? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all, they're talking about, like, how they're gonna do, like, the big money shot of the trailer for Hall H at Comic-Con, which, by the way, chef's kiss for just, like, pointing out that Hollywood is trying to get like one segment's money, like they're trying to get like all the nerds to show up to buy into this movie.
I'm not sure that's what that was going for. That's the big moment that actors have now. Comic-Con. Because big action actors no longer have the same kind of limelight as they used to. Now they now have Comic-Con, which has turned into a corporate Hollywood shit fest. That's another thing that Disney has done, because Marvel movies go to Comic-Con all the time. You have all DC movies, Comic-Con, every superhero movie. Comic-Con, any action movie. I think Mission Impossible went to Comic-Con.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I always think about, like, the circle of people that people want. Everyone always thinks about the entire circle of everybody. It's a big-ass circle that has a million sections to it. The circle you really want is all the people that spend money on things they see. Like, that's the people you want. Like people who read books and don't watch movies. It's like, you might get them, like, by chance, but you probably aren't going to get them.
I think you're talking about demographics.
Yes.
Okay.
So the demographic that they really want, it's not 18 to 35, even though that is...
No, the demographic is called 18 to 35 moviegoers.
Yes.
Specifically people who go to movies.
Because they have money. But what I'm trying to say, though, is you can't get everybody, so you try to get the most amount of people that will spend money to go see something. And I feel like people pay money to get into Comic-Con, so they're willing to pay money to go see a movie. I think that's the logic, but...
I think the logic is that if they don't show up to Comic-Con with an Avengers trailer, there will be a revolt.
Oh, speaking of Avengers, have you checked out Fallout yet?
The show?
Yeah.
I did not, but Mahler just came out with a review for it. I watched that.
Oh, I gotta check that out now.
He doesn't like it.
Really?
Yeah, I think you...
I'm surprised.
Based on the video, I would tend to agree with him, even though I haven't seen it.
Well, I don't know. I'm not gonna speak for Mahler, but the... like, I could see him, like, breaking down the stupidity of certain things going on.
Yes.
But the...
Are you going to say something about that's how the game was?
No, not even that. The people that I know that played Fallout, like, enjoy the show.
So they don't care about all the parts of the show that ruin the game's lore? In addition to the fact that the show is part of the game's lore, this is game lore now.
Bethesda has to put out a new game for that to actually happen.
No, this is game lore.
Did Bethesda say that?
Yes.
Well, then I guess that's going to suck because...
They don't care that the Chinese didn't nuke first, that it was actually
Vault-Tec
nuking.
By the way, this is now spoilers for Fallout as well.
It's a bad show. I don't care about spoiling it.
Watch it first.
I watched 2.5 hours of it.
How many episodes is that? 2.5 episodes?
Probably.
Okay.
It might be 5. How long is an episode?
40, 50 minutes.
It's more than 2.5.
Okay, so... I can see why Mahler would hate it, because there are stupid characters in there.
It's not that there are stupid characters. It's that the stupid characters do stupid things and are rewarded for them.
Yes.
Yeah. You can have a whole movie, call it Idiocracy, where everyone in there is stupid, and it can be fantastic.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Anybody that doesn't get the joke, please look up Mike Judge.
And the movie Idiocracy.
Oh, dang. You should let it go.
Anyway.
Right, anyway.
So it's not that there are stupid people. It's the fact that stupid shit happens when it shouldn't. I remember there was a part of his dissertation at this point on Star Wars...
Return of the Jedi?
No, the sequels. What's the first one called again?
The first one was...
It's not Last Jedi. It's not Rise of Skywalker. Not Force Unleashed.
No, Force Awakens.
Yes, TFA.
Uh-huh.
He points out that Hux, General Hux,
uh-huh,
is in the first movie portrayed as a very competent general,
uh-huh,
that has been put in charge of all of the military aspects of the new empire.
And then Rian Johnson shows up.
And he makes him a clown. And in the second movie, Hux can no longer be general of everything because he is incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
He could not have risen to this serious height It's a military. It's not a comedy military like in Spaceballs. It's a military military. Mm-hmm. You can't have your general in charge of everything be as stupid as Hux is in The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. You cannot have the Brotherhood be as stupid as they are in Fallout.
You're not wrong, but the
I get the whole idiot savant point angle, but that's not
what idiot savant are you talking about? Just
Maximus.
Okay, so
if you set in Fallout, if you set your intelligence to 1 or 0, I think it is.
Yeah.
You get extremely lucky. New options are opened up to you that you can do something really stupid and it just turns out in your favor.
Yeah.
But it's still written better than this. There's okay. Also
I would say, well, the issue I have with what you're saying is that I have seen the entirety of the show.
Uh-huh.
And yes, there are rewards for stupidity. However, there are also qualifications, I want to say. Because, if we had a case-by-case basis, and which, by the way, we should get off of Fallout.
Back to Fall Guy.
Yeah, back to Fall Guy, because, I don't know, this was a nice little tangent. But I have to watch them, because, I'm going on two things. I'm going off of your opinion through of Mahler's thing of Fallout.
Right.
So, which I'm sure you watched the entirety of, right?
I did, yeah.
Okay. I haven't, which I am, but Mahler,
Mahler also had a lot of help from people who have game lore knowledge.
Yeah.
Which he points out at the end.
Okay.
Because, Shady Sands is in the wrong place.
Yeah, it's in a different part of California, if I'm not mistaken.
I forget. I'm not a huge Fallout lore guy. I know some about Fallout from playing, 3 and 4.
I'm actually going to look into... I'm going to get myself a Amazon Luna controller. Because if you
what
have...
What the hell is that?
Well, if you have Prime, you can play games on Amazon Prime now.
Oh, that's hideous.
It probably is. However...
It sounds like Stadia.
Yeah, but right now Fallout is free on there.
I own Fallout in, 3 different formats.
So, it's either I get a PS3 version for $5 or...
Pirated.
Yeah, but pirated how? I'm not playing it on PC.
Oh, right.
So
I forgot.
Well, I have...
You don't have a gaming PC.
I have a...
You're a console pleb.
Which, by the way, I am looking into. It's one of the things I'm saving up for. A
gaming
PC. No, not a gaming PC. A PC that will be built for...
AI?
AI.
The thing that requires you to have a really nice graphics card?
Oh, no. But the... but I'm very... I haven't talked to anybody about who has one that can do AI stuff on theirs and run games at the same time.
So I found something. Because I have an AMD graphics card.
Okay.
That means I do not have CUDA cores.
Yeah.
Which means I'm fucked.
Yeah.
For 50% of all the coolest shit you can do with AI.
Yeah.
Because I don't have CUDA cores, and I'm too lazy to make RockM work.
Okay.
So what I found was, just by random internet searches, the NVIDIA... Is it NVIDIA?
Yeah, probably.
Tesla.
Okay.
This is a server card that's just for video RAM.
Ooh.
It has no fan because it's supposed to be cooler rack, server rack cooled. All
right.
So you gotta do something for that. Maybe duct tape a fan to it.
Well, just out of curiosity.
I found multiple cards that were $70, 32 gigs of VRAM. CUDA core.
Do me a favor. I'll give you money if you can get this to work, and then see if it gets to work.
Uh-huh.
So that, because the thing I'm looking into is, I'm afraid that one of these days... They're just going to pull the stuff that I have access to. So I want to have one set up on my system that's mine. But the I have to figure out like a whole bunch of things too, because I don't know. I can use like certain ones on the web browser ones. Like I'm willing to keep paying Midjourney and all that.
I still have ChatGPT. I use it less and less, I think, all the time. However, yeah. Big news for that currently is that they've been teasing GPT-5 for this year.
Who knows? But the...
They've also stated that they want to become a search engine, which is hilarious because it's going to be instantly better than Google.
Yeah. The problem I think Google has right now is they got too greedy.
Well, they're Google. They're a behemoth.
That, but what I'm saying, though, is, like, the majority of the time I search for something, I get, like, 10 sponsored things.
That's horrible.
And the thing, and plus, also, it's like, I don't completely trust AI answers.
Well, that's what Google feeds you most of the time.
I know, but like, here's what I'm saying, though. Like Google is, like, algorithmic in that, like, if I'm searching for something very specific, it'll give me the broad item. But when I do something on AI, I know that, like, enough people have fucked with the model enough that certain things aren't as accurate as they used to be. Like,
I don't know what you mean by that.
I don't know if this is true or not, but it's I just don't trust it as much anymore. It's like I need like Google like.
So let me throw something out first. The data that they collect from people using the AI is not implemented in that AI. When they do another big update like GPT-5, mm-hmm. that is where all that data is used.
Okay.
GPT-4 is. Done. It's not being fucked with, except for, you know, censorship bullshit, which has to be updated relatively frequently. But your user training data is not real-time updated. It's not like Tay AI from back in the day, where Tay would just feed you other people's responses that made sense.
Well, anyway, so... Now we like now that we got our AI out of the systems. Fall Guy, is there any weak points to this movie?
He did get the cops to go into that room to look at where there was no dead body.
And then all of a sudden, that's where they found the dead body.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was that.
That seems like it could be a hole.
A little bit, yeah.
But one thing I say it could be a hole because I have to watch this movie again because every single thing in the movie has a terrific setup and payoff.
Yeah.
They set up everything. I can't wrap my mind around them leaving such a glaring hole. I probably just missed the answer.
That, like, also, the, when... You watch it and you think about, all right, so Hannah brings him to Australia to set him up.
Gail,
yeah. Hannah Wadsworth. I got confused with the real actress. So, Gail. Sets him up.
The whole thing, it's a really good setup for the villain.
Yep.
Because she calls him out to... You don't really even know there's a crime that's been committed until about halfway through the movie.
Yep.
Where all of the stuff in the beginning of the movie, if you're paying attention, makes sense. But most people will just be in the moment.
Yeah.
Because so Gail calls him to tell him that Jody wants him on the movie.
Yep.
Pleads with him, just eventually convinces him to come to Melbourne. Melbourne? Sydney.
Actually, no. They did let you know where it was because all of the post-it notes in the apartment. There was a map of Australia, and I wish someone comes up with like a high-definition screenshot of those scenes.
Could you read some Dan's text at the end when I was like, because I couldn't read because I don't have my reading glasses on.
Offhand, no.
No? I could... I wanted to, like, run up to the screen really quick and read it.
But, like,
it seemed important.
But, I wish they had, a trailer or, like, a clip of, like, one of the other movies that they made, like, with Tom Ryder.
They had that perfume, cologne commercial.
Yeah, but that
was pretty funny.
That was funny, but it wasn't the, because the dog setup was perfect.
Oh, the fucking dog. I love the dog.
The dog
is way too smart. If we're going, like, super nitpicky, the dog is really, really, really smart.
Jean-Claude. And you have to speak to him in French.
That's a very common thing for dogs to be trained in a uncommon language.
Like, either German or...
in this case, French.
French. But the first time you're introduced to the dog is in the movie poster.
Yeah?
Yeah, remember Good Cop, Bad Dog?
I did not remember that, no.
Okay, it's a scene where he's in the producer's trailer, and he realizes he's been brought on to find the missing star. And he's lying in front of the movie poster that is, I don't know the name of it, but...
Oh! You're talking about that whole scene after he got set on fire 30 times.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Didn't notice that poster.
Okay, so, the one issue I have with it is that, it changes gears because after the body is moved and then the body magically reappears and he's set up for it.
Where does the body reappear?
Easy.
Where does the body reappear?
Back at the hotel because they use the footage.
They use video.
They use the video of him leaving the room.
The body didn't actually reappear, did it?
They didn't mention what hotel room it was in, but it had to have been the same hotel room because.
I don't know if they actually went back to that hotel room after the fact.
They did. They went. Like, remember the cops show up, so he brings them to the bathtub.
Well, yes, that time.
And then,
that's when the body was moved.
And then they use the footage of him leaving the room, and suspiciously.
Yeah, that's the whole setup is really well. Well, the movie is real well done with the whole setup. The setup itself is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Because the characters that thought it up were pretty stupid.
Yeah, but the
I love him nitpicking the.
It's too contrived.
The conspiracy theory. Yeah. I love him nitpicking the conspiracy theory. He's like, drop the suicide off. It's too.
Especially because the suicide is the thing that they're going to accuse him of. So, you need carbs.
Scene where he's going, help, and they're pouring gasoline on him. And he gets gasoline in his mouth. I'm sitting there like, oh, I know where this is going. That is a lot of the shit that I loved in this movie. Like, I know where this is going.
Like the fact that he has a Miami Vice jacket, and then he tells the one lady, "Man, I did a boat stunt that I could do with my hands side by my back."
Yeah, hands side by my back. Yeah,
and he does.
Oh, I forgot about that.
The one nitpicky thing, I was like, it goes from he's being chased to all of a sudden he lost him, and then he's hiding behind a boat.
Oh, he's trying to get away.
Yep.
But he's trying to be casual so they don't notice him.
Yep.
But then they spot him, and then the chase continues.
Yeah, well, you don't see the part where he gets away from him and they lose him. So, and it goes from, they're shooting at him.
Yeah, they're shooting at him.
Then Jody gets a call.
He goes around, ramps off the
thing.
Which,
by the way...
He's got some distance, and then he parks with all the other boats that look exactly like his.
What I think happened, though, was they kind of set up the joke earlier. Because remember when I told you, the first 10 minutes after the introduction of everybody? After the title credits roll.
Uh-huh.
After it says the Fall Guy... he shows up in Australia, and she's on the beach, and they're, doing all this stuff, filmmaking-wise, and they're like, we're not going to do any cutaways talking about the movie they're making. Meanwhile, they do a cutaway, which, by the way, while we're on the topic of, editing and all that stuff, the split screen...
Oh, my God.
...was perfect.
That's one of those things where it's like, oh, you're a movie nerd? Prove it.
Yeah. And then...
Name every movie.
Then...
The constant... So... Colt and his friend Dan, the another stunt guy,
yep.
have this running competition with one another. Well, they'll just quote a movie
yep.
that sounds totally natural, like, in the scene. Like, he just starts quoting Rocky. It's like, you gotta pick yourself up! Like, that whole
Rocky... that's how winning is done.
That's yep. how winning is done! Like, I love that scene. I was laughing the whole time.
You know what my favorite one of all of them?
But it keeps happening throughout the movie where they'll do this back and forth. And they'll, like, have to... They guess the movie.
Yep.
I love every fucking one of those.
My favorite one was Lord of the Rings.
You shall not pass!
Alright, it's starting to get dark.
A little bit.
And I'm starting to get bit a little bit by mosquitoes.
Really?
I felt something, so 5 more minutes, alright?
Sure.
Okay. So...
Fantastic movie.
Would you like to see a sequel to this?
A sequel? So if you would ask me if I wanted to see a sequel to Bullet Train, I would have said no.
Yeah.
Because this is what happens. Fall Guy... is the not sequel to Bullet Train. I want another movie like this from this director.
Okay.
Before we end, we got to talk about the most tragic thing about this movie.
Which is?
It cost $125 million to make.
And it's probably making $30
million. It has made $66 million global.
Oh, fuck.
It has lost possibly... $200 million.
Has it opened in China yet?
Yes.
Fuck.
Even if it hadn't, you can't come back from that.
And there's no... damn it. There's no... Matt Damon explained why, movies that aren't guaranteed, bangers, which, by the way, like, there's no such thing as a guaranteed banger, but there's no secondary there's no secondary market anymore, meaning there's no home video.
No home video. Streaming is dying, unless you're Netflix.
Netflix is the only one. Well,
only one making money. Other studios are now licensing their shit back to Netflix.
Yeah.
You know it's over.
Well, it's not worth them starting their own streaming service because...
No, they've already started their own streaming service, and it has died.
Yeah, they couldn't get it to work. You have to have...
Paramount Plus has now absorbed several other streaming services.
Which, by the way, isn't... I like that there's going to be competition. It's going to be Paramount Plus, which I think is...
Which is also dying.
I know, but I think it's just going to be Amazon Prime.
Which is also dying! Amazon Video.
But you're not. I don't separate the two. To me, it's Prime Video.
Well, no. So it is a different department.
It is
with its own heads of you know.
But here's what Prime is doing right now, and this is why I see it sticking around.
But when you say Prime, you're talking about the people who deliver your packages.
To me, they're the same people.
They're not.
I know they're not. But to me, they are. But this is why I see it sticking around.
Because they're Amazon.
Sort
and they
of.
Have the money.
That. And also, they need write-offs for all their...
No.
They do need write-offs for all the money they're making on hosting 75% of the internet.
That's not how taxes work.
I know, but here's what I'm saying, though. Right now, if you go on Prime Video, you're going to see ads.
Do you remember the movie The Producers?
Yeah, are you thinking that Prime Video is just Springtime for Hitler? Or...
No. You remember the movie The Producers. The thing everybody takes away from The Producers is we're going to make more money on a flop than we are on a hit.
Yeah.
Why? Why are they going to make money on a flop?
Because they have it insured for a flop,
no.
I think. I forget that plot point.
The reason they're going to make money on a flop is because they have taken money from many different investors claiming there were only like 2 investors. So if they have to pay people's money back,
mm-hmm.
when they report that the budget was $1 million back in the day, I don't know.
All right.
When they actually took in $10 million,
yeah.
They don't have to pay everybody back because they take the insurance, give the insurance money to the investors who are insured, and keep the $10 million.
Okay.
That is how they were going to make money on a flop.
Right.
Not taxes. Not insurance.
Okay.
By being swindlers.
Yes.
People have that one idea in their head that, oh, Disney makes money off of all of these flops. They don't.
No, they don't.
As a matter of fact, I think it was Deadline who just put out a big article about the top five most, the top five biggest Disney flops.
Was Lone Ranger number one?
No, recently. Also, no. But no, hell no.
What about John Carter of Mars? That was pretty bad.
You can't even compare.
Really? What flopped harder than...
The Marvels.
Okay.
So The Marvels, allegedly, has a $250 million budget. That's a lie.
I don't know who got... I don't know who had their hand in the cookie jar on that movie. Because, like, maybe I could see that, like... film and advertising was 200.
Let me run through this. So the marketing is reported in the Deadline article as 100 and something million dollars. That's a lie. It has been well known for a long time that you just double the budget for marketing. And in recent years, especially for Disney films, you could triple it and you might not be far off.
Yeah.
So saying that it was half of the production budget, probably not real. But let's say it is, to be generous.
Okay.
They also had all these other random expenses for, you know, reshoots, where reshoots are...
That's where it gets
hold
expensive.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Reshoots are part of the budget. They're not 90% of the movie reshoot budget, though.
Yeah.
Anything that goes over budget in reshoots is just not accounted for in any of this, like, publicly seen business.
Yeah.
So, movies that are almost completely reshot have well exceeded their reshoot budget, which is a small part of the production budget.
Can I ask a question out loud?
Sure.
What possesses a studio to completely reshoot a movie, knowing that...
The producers come in, like Kathleen Kennedy, and say, we don't want the Solo movie to be a comedy. So... we're going to get different directors in and reshoot
the
whole thing.
Was that one of the top five?
No.
Aside from the Marvels, what was the other four?
Well, let me run through the Marvels first. I can get you the
list. All right, go ahead. Don't even worry about the list then. If you don't have it off the top of your head, I don't...
I remember the Marvels vividly.
Yeah.
So, tabulate all these things that Deadline has for intake and cost.
Yeah.
And they say that the Marvels has lost $230 million.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that they list as money-making is selling the rights, the video and streaming rights to stream the Marvels.
Yeah.
To a streaming platform.
But you can't do that because it's going on
for $90 million. So they sold the streaming rights for $90 million. Who did they sell them to?
Themselves.
Themselves. So they took $90 million out of their back pocket, slapped it in their own hand.
Did you count that as a loss?
And they counted that as a gain.
Okay.
Of $90 million. But that's just a fucking lie.
Yeah.
So what happens when we take $90 million more dollars because they... This is the total loss, which is all of the profits and all of the negatives.
Yeah.
What happens when we take $90 million out of the positives? They lost $329 million, give or take, as a generous rough estimate, on just the Marvels.
That is way bigger than Army Hammer's Lone Ranger.
Yeah. That's how much they lost.
Tell you what, I know Johnny Depp wanted to play a Native American in that movie with a crow on his head, but he really should have just been... But then again, he doesn't have like the classic good looks to be leading.
Tonto.
Well, he was Tonto, but like whatever the Lone Ranger's actual name is.
I don't remember.
Well, either way, like,
you know what? I actually like that movie.
It's not a bad movie. It's just that it like who's gonna go see it? Like
I went to see it.
No, I mean, like, who was going to go see that and be like, yeah, it's like, this is our new Pirates.
Oh, it's not Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, it's not. And, like, God bless him, because, like...
It's bizarre that Johnny Depp decided to do this, but
it's funny as hell. Johnny Depp loves money. he loves spending money, so...
At the time, he was spending it on Amber Heard.
No, I think at the time, he was spending it on Amber Heard and a shitload of wine and houses.
Amber Heard?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway...
But the Johnny Depp quote is this. You'll appreciate this. Someone from the IRS says, "You spend $50,000 a year on wine?" It's like, "Hell no. I definitely spend way more than $50,000 a year on wine."
that's the number one loss of the top 5 losses. Disney essentially hasn't made money on a movie in years.
Alright.
I think sometime last October?
Yeah.
The Disney stock went below $80 for the first time. It has recently gone down another 10% from the most recent earnings call. I don't know what it is currently.
Now, here's the thing, though. We think of Disney as a movie studio. You know what they are, though, right?
Disney has been riding off of the theme parks for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And they're ruining them, too. Universal is now, like, the new hotness. Because they got Nintendo Land.
Yeah.
And Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And other things I can't remember.
All right. So, Fall Guy. We can't think of any, like... There's only a couple of hiccups, but even then, like...
I don't even know if they're technically hiccups.
Like, the only reason why I think it's a hiccup is, like, the plan... you think about it from the bad guy's perspective.
Oh, the bad guys are actually very stupid.
They are very stupid. So they fail to get the guy drugged and, set him up with a body in a car.
Well...
Then the guy... So...
If he weren't the best stuntman ever...
Yep.
It would have worked.
Yep. Any other stuntman, it would have worked, but nope. Then, okay. Let's end on this. Dream scenario. You don't get a sequel to Fall Guy.
Speaking of sequels, not
a direct sequel, but like, hold on. Let's play this out here. Uh-huh. David Leitch gets to make a movie.
Yeah.
That doesn't have the budget that this does. But
$125 million.
But he gets everybody. Well, actually, let's take that out of the equation. Let's say whatever movie he makes next, guaranteed box office, 5x's production.
5x's.
Yeah, whatever they spend on the movie, they make 5 times that back.
Oh.
Like it's
5x.
Yeah. So whatever they make makes all the money back from this one, makes all the money back on that one. What would you like to see them make?
Dude, I don't fucking know. The reason I like these movies is because they're so out of the box. Bullet Train was fantastic. I would have never told you that I wanted a fucking 13 Assassins on a Japanese Bullet Train with the fucking Mr. Genshin bullshit from Saints Row.
Uh-huh.
I never would have said that this movie would have been amazing either. I want the same amount of fettered.
Yes.
The same amount of fettered.
Whatever
formula is going on there, I want more of it.
That's true. I mean, Charlize Theron, did you see her in Atomic Blonde?
I did not see Atomic Blonde. Okay, I should.
Atomic Blonde is another one of his movies.
It's making me want to see it more and more.
I would at least check it out because...
I've been recommended it for a long time, and I wanted to see it before. Now I really want to see it.
Okay, so Leitch was a stunt guy for Fight Club. He was Brad Pitt's stunt double at one point, if I'm not mistaken.
Cool.
Well, either way, maybe I'm conflating the two. They always say that he was a stunt man on Fight Club, so maybe I'm just thinking that it was Brad Pitt.
Doesn't matter.
Either way, he could have been just like one of the guys that gets knocked in the face, all that fun stuff. The thing I would like to see him do next, because he managed to get in Bullet Train, one of my favorite things to ever happen. He got Channing Tatum and Sandra Bullock because they were making a movie next door that he got them to appear in this.
And Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds also made an appearance because the Deadpool 2 connection.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad Pitt worked with very briefly on Deadpool 2 and then...
Where was Brad Pitt in Deadpool 2?
Remember he was the Invisible Man that gets electrocuted? You only see him for a split second. He had no lines.
I vaguely remember that.
Okay. Which, by the way, the next movie I want to do this for sure, is...
Deadpool 3.
Deadpool and Wolverine.
So, I don't... It'll be funny. It'll definitely be... I saw a fucking trailer, the newest trailer for that.
I'm 90% sure that... You think it's just going to be more Marvel bullshit?
No. I saw a trailer today. Really fucking funny.
Yeah.
It's there. You know, you see the apocalypse outside of all the multiverses and whatnot in the trailers. They see a huge Paul Rudd head as Ant-Man.
Yep.
And Ryan Reynolds is like, huh, so Paul Rudd finally aged. I laughed pretty hard. It's going to be funny. But it also has the Time Police in it from Loki.
I think Ryan Reynolds has the... Because Marvel's really looking for a flagship title.
Yeah, that's what makes me think that it's not going to be as great as it... Because Marvel's going to have their sticky fingers all over it.
But I think this movie is hopefully going to be return to form. Because on paper, like, the trailer is advertising it as, like, we have a Wolverine. It's not Logan from...
They have several, actually.
Well, apparently Daniel Radcliffe is going to be one of the Wolverines. Like, because everyone was talking about casting the guy who played Harry Potter as Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they're going to do that. Like, if Daniel Radcliffe plays it serious, where he's just, like, a short Wolverine...
You mean accurate Wolverine.
Yeah, exactly. Like... Don't get me wrong, Hugh Jackman has done a marvelous job.
He is a fantastic Wolverine. He is as good a Wolverine as Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man.
Exactly. But if we're going to be nitpicky, the one thing I'll say about him is he's too tall to be Wolverine. But that's, like I said, the only thing they never did was make him look bigger. Make his opponents bigger than him, somehow.
Yeah, they did.
Which ones?
Sabretooth.
I never got... Like Liev Schreiber was okay. He's bigger than Hugh Jackman, but... it was...
Sabretooth towered over Wolverine. I'm pretty sure he was in more than one movie.
Well, the first movie wasn't Liev Schreiber, but I know who you mean.
But, I know it's not the same actor at all. But here, still, the character towers over him.
This is what I want to see, because it looks like they're doing this. They're going there. They are going to mock... all the things that Fox did wrong.
We'll see. That's all I can say. We'll see.
We'll see. I don't know. It looks like they're leaning that way, but... Like,
if I go in with low expectations, I will be pleasantly surprised.
Yes.
Maybe. It's Marvel. They're magic like that. I went in to see the fucking Last Airbender movie with no expectations, and I was disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that coming a mile away, though.
Yeah, no. I knew it was going to be bad, and I was surprised at how bad it was.
Okay. All right, so me, if I had...
For David Leitch.
For David Leitch, he does action movies so well.
Oh, it's action comedy.
He's done noir, spy thriller noir. He's done action comedy with Fall Guy. And he's also, like,
Bullet
done...
Bullet Train is also action comedy.
Say what now?
Bullet Train is also action comedy.
He does action comedy so well. Let's get another one.
I would... Yeah. Fuck it.
Like, I would have him do the All-Stars that he's worked with.
Keep your favorite cast members. Whatever.
But if anything, I would have a...
More Aaron Taylor Johnson, definitely.
Yes, I would.
I'll remember him someday.
Honestly, I would have him do his version of the Expendables. Because think about it, we get no action stars, we just get all actors.
So
with Ryan Reynolds and a couple other guys in there.
I think what I like about
because like, that's the other thing I've noticed about him too.
Sure.
He gets people that are not typical action stars to do action things. and it works. Because like because you also get the comedy element.
Well, who's not a typical action star?
Charlize Theron is sort of an action star, but she's
she was in Mad Max, and Aeon Flux.
Yeah, but I think that was her trying it. Like, and it's.
I'm saying that she's been in action movies.
She's been in action movies, but
it's not like saying I'm gonna get. Alfred.
What do you mean, Alfred?
Alfred
Molina?
No, Alfred from Batman.
Michael Caine.
Get Michael Caine. He's not getting Michael Caine to be action stars, is he?
If no, let's throw that in there. I'm throwing that in there.
Well, like, but what I'm saying is that he has not.
Like it's some 90-year-old actor that we think of as like is Dudley Moore still alive?
I want to say no. You know who's also not still alive?
Martin Short is still alive. I pray to God I don't fucking.
You know who just died? King Theoden.
Oh, the dude from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I can't think of a single other movie he's been in.
A bunch.
I know he's been in a shit ton of movies. The only image I have of him in my head right now is him as the king.
Yeah.
That is the only one I have right now.
Yeah.
So, like, this is what I want. I want Seven Samurai.
Okay.
Like, sort of plot. Like, take that plot.
For
an expendable style where it's like this team of bad guys versus that team of bad guys. Where modern day. But I don't want I don't want the Jason Stathams. I don't want the if you're a typical action star like Ryan Reynolds, you get a lesser role. You just come in and because having a stunt guy as a director, it just like naturally somehow ingrains the fucking action. Because like look at the John Wick movies and look at what the hell is his name that did.
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember what it's called.
But actually, you know what I would have him do? I take that back. We have all this. We have him do a Buster Keaton movie. Because you ever see online the Buster Keaton stunts?
Yeah.
Like, I want some of those, but, like, they have to do it practically.
I love how much of this movie is practical.
Okay, so...
I don't know how you can say a Buster Keaton movie.
Okay, so Buster Keaton.
You could have Buster Keaton style stunts in a movie.
Yes,
but you'd never get away with making a Buster Keaton movie today.
Yes, so you would have to go way out of your way. But I just want that.
It would never get past anybody in Hollywood if you wanted to make something that niche. You know what I mean?
You know who it has to be. Tom Cruise.
Yes, if Tom Cruise
wants
personally funded a Buster Keaton, David Leitch movie.
Yep, like Tom Cruise and everybody else is supporting characters, and they all have to do the stunts with Tom Cruise. But it's like it's still an action comedy, and it's like all that. That's my thing. I want the all-star approach, where like everyone's like it has like a stunt to do with Tom Cruise, and then.
What was that one Tom Cruise movie that was not Reacher?
Not Reacher. You're gonna have to be more specific.
It was like he was a.
Does he die constantly?
No.
So it's not Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, no, not Edge of Tomorrow. It was that movie where that scene takes place with the two guys in the bathroom that can't fucking hit him in the tub.
That can't hit him in the tub.
You know that scene?
You're gonna have to be a little bit more specific.
It's these two guys who come in busting. He's like sitting in a bathtub. These two dudes with, like, bats bust into this small bathroom and keep getting in each other's way.
And it wasn't Reacher?
He's not Reacher.
He's not?
Right?
So it's not Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher is played by the guy from Ministry.
Yes, but that he was also, Tom Cruise was also the same role in the movie.
Yeah, I know, that's what I mean.
So not those movies.
No, those movies.
Yeah, he was Jack Reacher. That was the name of the movie, Jack Reacher. Jack Reacher.
You know what? You're right.
And the sequel to Jack Reacher, I don't know what Hollywood producer, or maybe Tom Cruise was like, hey, we'll do a sequel, and then he was obligated to do a sequel. But the budget on the first movie compared to the second movie, I was like, holy shit.
You get David Leitch and Tom Cruise to make a movie like Jack Reacher. with David Leitch's spin.
We still doing action comedy or?
Action comedy. You know what? Fuck it. Whatever.
Whatever Tom Cruise wants to do, because I feel like Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise can definitely do action comedy.
Tom Cruise. Oh, you know what movie I want Tom Cruise to do? It's never going to happen. But I want the companion piece to Tropic Thunder. I want.
Aren't they talking about that? Hasn't that been around recently?
Well, you know how like Len Grossman was the role that he played. Like he was in heavy makeup the whole time. Like remember the movie Producer? Like you didn't. If you didn't know it was Tom Cruise, you wouldn't have known.
Oh, that's what you mean. The character name. Yeah.
I want Len Grossman, the character, to get canceled and put on trial so that he's, like, dealing with multiple attacks from the media, the actual courts, because he's getting sued. Like, so it's sort of like Harvey Weinstein, but not Harvey Weinstein, which, by the way, that's what he was kind of playing the time.
Definitely.
But the
hair and all.
But here's the twist of that. It's like he's only done... like some of the bad things he's accused of. So it's not like so in the courtrooms they're flashing back to all the stuff that he's done, and it gets to be wild shit. And I want like old Hollywood names thrown in there, because I want his best friend to be like sort of Don Simpson. Like, did you ever hear the story of Don Simpson?
I don't think so.
He passed out in a meeting one time because he was on multiple drugs. When I say multiple drugs, when he actually did pass away, the toxicology report was about 10 pages of all the things that were in his system. It's like, well, he was doing cocaine, which had to have been laced with these 10 substances, which, by the way, I didn't realize that you could take diet pills and barbiturates at the same time.
You can take anything that can fit in your mouth.
Yeah, well, that's what he was on, everything. And he made some of the greatest movies with Jerry Bruckheimer.
Bruckheimer.
Because it was like Simpson Bruckheimer Productions, and then... Jerry Bruckheimer is still around, so I don't know how many stories are gonna be I want that movie to happen.
Did you hear Jerry Seinfeld talk about how Hollywood is dead?
I feel like we've talked about this.
This is recent.
But like,
I think he's done it before, but this one's recent.
Well, he's talking about he's been saying the comedy's dead. Because it gets censored out in the starting.
Yeah, that might be what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
maybe.
Because like he doesn't do. He was talking about not doing college campuses because they were too, too whatever. And he was talking about that 10 years ago. So
yeah.
God bless him. But
he's the speaker. He's going to be the speaker at my cousin's graduation, I believe.
Okay.
I think.
Going to be like.
Going to be.
Like, okay. Because he has done it before. Like,
yeah.
There's that. Do you want to do a review next week? But we have to watch it in our own time since it's on Netflix right now.
Sure.
Unfrosted?
Unfrosted.
That's his new movie.
Whose movie?
Jerry Seinfeld.
Sure.
All right, so let's sign off. Please go watch.
Watch Fall Guy.
Because... it's a really good movie.
They have $200 million to make up.
And I think this one could stay in theaters for a little while.
I hope.
Based on word of mouth.
I hope that it has a lot of leg to it.
Yep. So on that note, good night.
Night.